Kind Father, I love you, I bless you, I magnify you, I adore you. I need you like never before. We need you. We need you. I need you. This world needs you. America needs you. God, we need you like never ever before, Father God. We ask you just to make yourself evident in my life. Make yourself evident in the words that I say and I speak, God. Let something that I say or speak or minister to your people and touch those hearts of those that are listening, God. Let somebody be encouraged. Let somebody be touched. Let somebody be blessed, Father God. And most of all, may somebody come out to be saved and turn our light over to you, God, because this is why we do it. This is why we preach. This is because we preach you, Jesus. We preach you like never before. And if there's ever a time that the world needs you, it is now. We need you like never before. So I yield myself out of the way. I move myself out of the way that you may be glorified, magnified, and adored in this place. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Good morning, City Reach, Burlington, and the world. Thank you again for taking so much your time out to worship with us, to hear the word that God has for us today, to listen. I hope you enjoyed worship today, and I hope you enjoyed the announcement that I went before us, Scott. So, listen, we're going to continue on with the series we started earlier this month called God Help Us to Unite. This is week 3, and I have a special surprise for you guys next week. Our very own Pastor Richie Santiago will be bringing the word of God. He'll be rounding up the month of October, this Pastor Appreciation Month. So we're going to appreciate him as he brings forth the word. I know God is working on him, and I can't wait to hear what God has to say to and through him. You will be blessed. Now, listen, we're going to finish off where we started. God help us to unite. And we've been talking about how the world, God called the church, the body of Christ, to be like a body. Each part plays a part. Each body has a member, and it has a role. We have eyes, ears, mouth, hands, feet, and every role has a part. And every role, every member plays a part and has a function. And we may not all function the same. We may not all look the same. We may not all act the same, but we all come together as one. So this last week, God didn't call us to be the same. He calls us to be one. So that's the thing. It's like, we don't have to be the same. We don't have to worship the same. We don't have to look the same. God made us differently on purpose. When God made man, he made us all. He made us man and woman. He made black, white, all different races, because he wants the variety. He doesn't want us to look the same, but he wants us to be one. And there's a difference. So there's not one better than the other, and there's not one that's higher than the other or lower than the other, it's more important than the other, but we're all called to be united and to be the same, and all united and to be one. So we're going to go into our scripture for today is Ephesians 4th chapter, starting with the first verse. This is Paul writing. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So God is one, and he calls us all to be one, and he calls us to be united. He wants us to be united in spirit as one. We don't have to worship the same. We don't have to look the same, but we have to be united. In the book of Amos, it says, how do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So you need to come to a sort of agreement that whatever our differences are, we're not going to focus on our differences, but we're going to focus on the things that make us united, the things that make us one. And the things that make us united is the one thing that makes us is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit binds us all together as one body, as one church. So God calls us to be united. So we should come to agreement. Like, look, it doesn't matter. You may worship that way. You might have different type of beliefs. Of your political beliefs might be different than mine, and your favorite football team might be different than mine. When that stuff doesn't matter. That's just all surface stuff. It just adds to the complexity of the body of Christ. And Jesus and God makes that body so complex and so intricate that it's just mind blowing. And so he made us like that just on purpose, because he made us different to add to the complexity, to make the body united and to make us body together. And what it is it's easy to choose to agree with somebody that looks like you. It's easy to choose to agree to somebody that have the same background as you. It's easy to choose to agree to somebody that believes the same political beliefs as you, but it's not so easy to agree with somebody that doesn't. It's not so easy to agree with somebody that even doesn't even speak the same language as you. But that's why God called us we have a free will, and God wants us to choose to be united. Yes. So if we need to choose to be united, we need to choose to agree on something that will unite us, and that's the Holy Spirit. We need to come to some kind of conclusion that there are going to be differences. We're going to have a time where we might come to choose to agree to disagree, but we're going to choose to agree on certain aspects of our faith, the certain aspects of the Spirit that works down inside of us, because the same Spirit that works inside of me is the same Spirit that works inside of you. And if we have that same oneness in spirit, we can get together and come together and agree and unite and be as one. Amen? Amen. And so here's certain things that make us united. We need to come to certain, I've found a couple of things or thought about a couple of things that we can unite on, and some things that we have in common as humans, as members of this same church. One of the first things is that we have, last week we talked about the enemy, the common enemy, and that's Satan and his imps and his empirical powers and rulers of high places. But not only do we have Satan as our enemy, but we have the enemy in their inner me. The enemy in the inner me. What do you mean, PK? The enemy in the inner me. That's the enemy inside of you that, although you want to do what's right, although you want to do what God's called you to do, and or not do what's wrong, or even just not do what's wrong, you still end up doing the wrong thing. Or you still end up messing up, or you still end up saying something you're not supposed to say, or you still end up looking at something, or you still end up saying something. You just like, there's something inside of you that's warring within inner turmoil inside of you that I want to do what's right, but I keep messing up, I don't want to do what's wrong, but it feels good. I don't want to do the wrong things, but I keep ending up doing that thing. But that's the inner me that we have a war with, and that's the enemy within ourselves. If you look in Romans, third chapter, it says, starting with the 22nd verse, it says, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." So that's the one thing. It's like, first off, we need to figure out that we've all sinned. We're all sinners. And there's nobody's perfect. And no matter how long you've been in church, you're not perfect. No matter if you thought you were born on a pew, you're still not perfect. You thought you never sinned. You never did anybody wrong. Or you're not doing this. You're not doing that sin. You're not perfect, because we all have sinned. So we've come to agreement, number one, that we've all sinned. And we have that inner part of us that kind of causes us to sin, and we are at war with that inner part of us that causes us to sin. So we come to that first agreement that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we have the redemption of by grace of God. So we've been redeemed by Christ. We've all been sin, born sinners, but we've all been redeemed. And there's a difference in that. And I thank God for being redeemed. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for making me clean, even though I still live in a sinful body. But I thank God for the gift called redemption through his grace. Amen. If we continue on in Romans into the 7th chapter, starting with the 18th verse, it says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. But now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin that's living inside of me that does it." So the saying is like, I want to do right, but this, I realize there's no good inside of me of my own because I have a sinful nature. I was born that way. I need to be reborn. And so it's the thing that causes me to do what I don't really want to do. It's the sinful nature inside of me. And we need God, we need Christ to remove that sinful nature out of us. And it's like daily, like when we get up in the morning, we brush our teeth and we take a shower and we get dressed and go about our day, right? But it's like basically you take a shower and get up dressed and go about your day doesn't mean when you get up tomorrow, you don't have to do it again. We have to brush our teeth and we have to shower every day. Right? It's just that same thing. It's like please, listen, my teenagers, please, my teenage sons, I don't want to pull them out to my teenage boys out there, please, take a shower, put on deodorant, right? But it's like, it's that same way as we have to talk to our teenagers. We got to talk to ourselves. We need a constant cleansing. Yes. We need to be constantly before God's face. We need to constantly seek in God's presence so he can like clean the sinful nature out of us. Because we wake up sinful and we need God to cleanse us every day. So when we go to bed, we can go to rest in his presence. We still wake back up sinful and we need to go back into his presence to get cleaned again. So we're all born in this way, naughty by nature. Amen. And we need God's grace to cleanse us and his Holy Spirit to work inside of us and make us to who we want to be so we can actually join together and do what God's called us to do as one body. Amen. Amen. All right. Another way that we're united. The first way is the enemy and the inner me. It's that war on the inside. A second way that we're united is the family and the friend I see. The family in the friend I see, because we're coming together as one family, as one body. And your body doesn't look the same at all parts. And our family nowadays it's starting to look a little different. We have a church of blended families. You know, we have a world, America is starting to blend, and it's not, you know, the population is going to change, and demographics, they say by 2040 or 2030, the demographics are going to change drastically, where the group that was in the majority is going to start to lose that majority hold, and you're going to have a lot more minority and majority, like a lot more people of color taking over the majority of the people in America. So our family dynamics are going to change as a country. So that means our family dynamics are going to change as a church. And you need to look at us that way. So it's like you can't look for similarities, but you got to look for what's in common inside of us, the things that are common in us. And that's all the thing is like we got so tricked thinking that we're looking for a certain race of people when there's only one race, the human race. So don't look at the race. Don't look at the outward appearances. Look on the inside and find the family and the friend that you see. And God's going to cause you together to be family. It's going to cause your friends to become family and come together, unite like as one. And it'll be like, you're like, before you know it, you're like growing, and it's like, wow, I didn't know what I was missing until I had you in my life. I didn't know what I was missing until I invited you into our family. I met my wife. I didn't know what I was missing until I married her. And thank God, all praise be to God for marrying this New Mexican woman that just expounded my mind. I've never met anybody in New Mexico ever in my life until I met my wife. I mean, and we've had friends that didn't realize that New Mexico was even a state in the country. She's got stopped at customs and got held back. I mean, it's like your friends are going to grow if you don't look on the inside. Don't look on the outside appearances and look on the inside, because there's going to be a family in that friend that you see. Romans, again, 8th chapter, starting with the 16th verse. It says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, so that we all have a common heir. We all have a common father, which is God the Father. And so we are all one. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, co-heirs with Christ. So that is our family is growing by leaps and bounds. If we just look not on the outside, but look on the inside and do what God's called us to do, and it let your love show, let your love flow, and let your body grow. Amen. I like that. Let your love flow, let your love show, and let the body grow. Amen. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, says, starting with the 26th verse. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are all one. We are all Abraham's seed. The promise that God made to Abraham when he spoke to him and says, look, if you can count the number of stars in the sky, that's going to be the number of heirs in your lineage. If you can count the number of sand in the beach, that's going to be the number in your lineage. And we are all Abraham's seed. We are all receivers of the promise that God made to him, because we are all joined together in Christ and baptized into Christ through faith in Jesus. So we are, as doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter our lineage, doesn't matter where we came from, but if we have accepted Christ into our hearts and Christ accepted Christ into our lives, we are all one body. We are all one family, and we are all joint heirs with Christ, the seed of Abraham. Amen. 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 All right. Another ways that we are united. First way, the enemy and the enemy and the enemy. The second way, the family and the friend I see. And the third way is the symmetry in our destiny. I got a little rhymey there. The symmetry in our destiny, which means our destinies unite. So not only are we united because of our sinful nature, not only are we united because we're one in body in Christ and our friends have become family, but we're also united because we have those same destiny. If we live our lives according to what God has called us to do, and if we do what God wants us to, we ask Christ into our hearts and we turn our lives over to him and we live our life battling after him, we realize that when this life is all over, we're going to be with him in heaven. And we're able to join in with him and with the angels and be able to worship Christ and worship God as one body and live eternally together with him. That's our destiny. That's our hope, is to live with Christ, to live forever with God and be just like heaven is like, there's no more wars. There's no more famine. There's no more death. It's like everything is going to be way God planned it from the beginning. He wants us to be united back with him. Because of sin, that there was a breaking of the unity between God and man. And it wasn't until Jesus came back and died on the cross and was that bridge that brought us back together again. And we cross over into the oneness of God using the bridge of Jesus Christ, using his blood that he shed at Calvary. And we all have the same hope. We all have the same destiny. We all have the same shared goal in mind to live our life eternally with God in heaven. If you look in at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it kind of tells us a glimpse of things to come and things that are going to happen. Look at the sign of the times and let you know that the times are winding up. It's getting towards the end of times, and it's getting towards the time where Jesus is going to be called back to heaven to look for his church. And we need to be ready. We need to be together. We need to be united as one right now, because he's coming back. He's soon to come. And here's what it says in Revelation's 7th chapter. It says, "And after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, and every people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I love that, because it says, I looked and I saw a great multitude that nobody could count. It was like beyond infinity and beyond, or infinity times infinity. And you can't count infinity to the infinity's power. Think of it that way. You know, how many stars there are, you can't count them all, because there's stars that we can't even see beyond the ones that we do see. And that's what John was saying when he wrote that. He's like, I saw a number that was so great that no man could count it. And I looked, and they all didn't look the same, but they were all dressed the same, clothed in his righteousness. They all didn't look the same, but they all dressed the same. They all didn't speak the same language, but they all said the same thing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So that goes to tell you who the makeup of this body is, who the makeup of this multitude is. It's you and it's me. And if we're called together to live in destiny together, why not live together now? There is no reason for us to be apart. There is no reason for us to be separated because of differences that don't matter. And there's no reason to be separated or to let the enemy try to divide us and by dividing us and conquer us and not allowing us to grow to who our full potential because of differences that don't matter. This skin is just the sin I'm in. And your skin is just the sin you are, the sin you're in. And if we look past our sin and look to what God, look within to the man within, and let God speak to you, and let the Holy Spirit unite us as one, let our hearts be jointly fit together and walk together and agree to, and we can do life together and we can do great things together. There's nothing that we can't do together than we can if we're apart. So I see no reason for us not all to be to come together as one now. Listen. It doesn't matter your political beliefs. It doesn't. Right now we are in election season, and you're seeing a lot of different things from the different candidates, and you're not sure which way to go. You're not sure which party to go with. You're not sure which persons or personal ideology to go with, or you can't make up your mind. It seems like you're choosing the lesser of two evils, but all of that doesn't matter, because in a few years it's going to be a different people in up there anyway. So don't let this one decision change your life. Don't let this one season deter you from your destiny. Let's get past that. Because your political beliefs don't determine where you're going to live forever with Christ.
That's right.
There's not a Democratic heaven or a Republican heaven. There's not an American heaven or a Russian heaven. There's heaven.
Yes.
And God wants us all to live together as one.
As one.
Jesus was never Republican or Democratic. Why? Because there wasn't America when he was here.
Yes.
So let's look past that. Let's look past political beliefs. Let's look past, we kick the politics out of the church. It doesn't belong. Let's kick the politics out of the church. And let's talk about oneness. Let's talk about Christ. We preach Christ. Jesus, we preach. Him, we preach. Because there's no fallacy in him. There's no failure in him. There's no oppression in him. There's no racism in him. It's him we preach. So let's preach the love of Jesus wherever we go. Let's show the love of Jesus wherever we go. So when they look at us, they look past our skin. When they look at us, they look past our sin. And when they look on us, they'll see the Jesus that lives within. And I want to speak to those that are looking for somebody to believe in, somebody to cast your vote on, or somebody to trust in. You feel you can, maybe you can't trust Trump, or maybe you can't trust Biden, or you can't trust this one or that party or that this party, but you can trust Jesus. I guarantee he will never lie. He'll never falsely accuse or never do anything out of unseemly or ungodly, because Jesus is God. And he'll never point the blame to someone else. As a matter of fact, Jesus took the blame.
Yes, yes, he did.
He took our blame and put it on him and cast it on the cross and took our sins and took everything that we've done wrong, everything that we said wrong, that from the past to the future, he took all of that on, and he freely gave his life for us and paved the way for us to live eternity, for that bridge that we can come back together with Christ, come back together with God, and we can live eternally with him. And all we need to do is to allow Christ to come into our hearts. You may be listening to me right now, and you might be saying, Pical, I really don't know. I really don't trust. But look, I dare you to trust him. I dare you to try him. I dare you to allow him into your heart. It's not hard. It's not that hard. You may not, like, it's a decision that seems difficult, and it seems you may have to give up so much, but you're going to gain so much more if you just give your whole to Christ. And I guarantee you, life may not be seen easier while you're here, but it's going to work out the way God's planned it. And I guarantee you that life's going to be better because of the decision that you make right now. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
I call the salvation ABCs in order to come to Christ and come to the body of Christ. A, you need to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Need to believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we need to see, confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Just that simple. ABCs. Admit, acknowledge, need to believe, and need to confess. That's that simple. And if you mind, let's pray together. We can pray this prayer and allow Christ into our hearts. Let's pray this. So, dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I'm a sinner.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe you died for my sins.
I believe you died for my sins.
And rose from the dead.
And rose from the dead.
I turn from my sins.
I turn from my sins.
And invite you to come.
And invite you to come.
Into my heart and life.
Into my heart and life.
I want to trust and follow you.
I want to trust and follow you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
In your name I pray.
In your name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I love to communicate with you. I love to connect with you. If anybody wants to pray that prayer, if anybody wants to join with us, we are looking for the ones that are lost. We are looking for the ones that people might think be overlooked. We are looking for you. I need to hear from you. I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, you could have joined anybody else. You could have listened to anybody else. And I'm so grateful that you decided to spend some time with little old me. I love you so much for doing that. I hope you've enjoyed this message. I hope you've been blessed. I love you. Talk to you later. God bless you.